It's crystal clear to see that perilous times are upon us, and it's clear to see that Jesus is coming. And in the midst of the last days judgments and state of mankind in Scripture, called the beginning of sorrows, we see that many are going to be afflicted, delivered up, many of the righteous. Some are going to be killed, Jesus said, Matthew 24:9, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another, that is, including the body of Christ, the members of the body of Christ. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And oh boy, are we not seeing that? It's definitely right in the midst of the evangelical world, church world, the curse of fake leaders, Isaiah 9:16. It is the leaders, Isaiah writes, the leaders of this people that cause them to err, and they that are led or misled of them are destroyed. In other words, they're going into the same ditch of eternal damnation as the false prophets they support and bid Godspeed to and follow. So Jesus promised that not a few, but many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Many are following their pernicious, damnable, that is, ways, as Peter in 2 Peter 2 writes, because many aren't willing to truly repent, to lay down their lives in this fallen world and to live a crucified life, to deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow Jesus, losing their lives in this world that they might gain those lives in everlasting glory. That's what the Scripture teaches. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2:11-12. So the promise here is that many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive not a few, but many. Notice the word many. Many false prophets and many are going to be deceived. Verse 12, and because iniquity, epidemic sin across the world from sea to shining sea throughout the circumference of fallen mankind, notice iniquity shall abound. It's going to be abounding. It's everywhere. The love of many, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Their love for God is waxing cold. We see it all around us. Every one of us probably knows several people that used to serve Jesus diligently and daily who no longer do so, and God's calling them to repent before it's too late. Hell is irrevocable, and the torment's going to be conscious and never ending. Luke 16:19-31, etc. Paul calls it in 2 Thessalonians 1, everlasting destruction. Only God can cause everlasting destruction. Somebody being destroyed or burned up forever and yet never destroyed. It's everlasting destruction. You got to look at both words together. The people that teach that hell is going to be a limited time, or there's going to be no hell, or the heresy of soul sleep, etc., are lying to the cult members that they deceive. Those are part of the many false prophets prophesied here who are going to deceive many. And what Satan wants to do is to minimize in the mind of everyone on earth the great suffering that lies ahead and for eternity for everyone who rejects the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So iniquity is going to abound and the love of many is going to wax cold. You ever notice why the love of many around us are waxing cold toward the brethren of Christ? Well, that's because, and only because, their love for God has waxed cold. Jesus commanded us to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. That's the cross right there, saints. First upward. That is God coming downward to man to die, to reconcile him back to the Father, and then outward. First, vertical, from heaven to earth, and then horizontal. When you're full of the love of God, you're born again, and the Holy Ghost is shedding abroad in your heart the love of God, Romans 5:5. You're loving the brethren of Christ. And let me stop here to encourage you as an individual believer to perhaps stop today and just say, Lord, help me to love you more. I want to love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help me whatever it takes, O God, and fill me with your love through my relationship with you that you made possible and you brought to pass through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. May that relationship grow in grace, and may I be full of your love, loving you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving my neighbor as myself. In Jesus' name, amen. So notice that the love of many is going to wax cold with abounding iniquity everywhere around us. And then he says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Only those who repent, receive Christ, they get saved, and then endure to the end are going to be saved into eternal glory. And anybody not teaching that, so much as not teaching that paramount New Testament truth, is a false teacher. He's using you to build his own temporal, earthly kingdom. That's what most pastors are doing, and any honest Bible reader knows that. This is not a mystery any longer that 99.9% of the church world is just fake pastors using fake Bibles, preaching a fake Jesus, empowered by a fake spirit, another spirit, a demon spirit. They're just building their own enterprise. They don't care about your eternal soul. They want your allegiance to be on them, to help them build their dream while they send you straight to hell. And you're going there deliberately because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. Hosea 4:6. There's no such thing as somebody who's deceived by accident. No, you're deceived deliberately because you have counted everything in this fleeting world more important than the Lord, because you're full of yourself and you're serving the God of self, and you're going to bust hell wide open and never escape if you don't repent. Notice verse 14. You want to see who the true remnant of Christ elect is? Here it is. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's Matthew 24, and we ended in verse 14, and we see that the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus the King is being preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, all of mankind, and then shall the end come. Later in this chapter we read that it's after the tribulation of these days that Jesus is going to come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he's going to send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's Matthew, same chapter 24, verse 29 through 31. Jesus is not coming 7 years earlier than his return to rapture some cowardly remnant. This is an escapism lie from hell. But what we do see, verse 14, is that the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ is being preached. Notice, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Notice that it's the remnant, those enduring to the end, verse 13, who are preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, participating in one manner given in Scripture or the other. That's the remnant. That's how we know who is actually of God, as opposed to those who are mere professors and go to church and somehow think that's something God designed for them to do every Sunday, when they're not even evangelizing, much less winning anybody to Jesus, or participating in the Great Commission. Now, as we close, remember Luke 9:62, Jesus says, no man, no man, having put his hand to the plow, that is, of the gospel, and then looking back like Lot's wife, right, is fit for the kingdom of God. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You're not going to enter into the kingdom of God if you don't die with your hand on the plow of the work of Jesus Christ. Don't kid yourself. God didn't call you to just go to church every Sunday. What has that produced? Most of the time, it's produced very little salvation because people can't even hear about sin and the need to repent and to be holy as He is holy, to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus daily. Where are you going to go to hear that message? What so-called local church, quote-unquote, is preaching that? They're not preaching that at all. They're there to corral a group of people to be able to build themselves a business in this fleeting world. As we close, we have a post titled, "Beware of the I Love My Church, quote-unquote, Deception." It's a podcast, and something was added to it recently, and let me share that with you. Dear professing Christian in America, you only love your fake church because the fake pastor who uses a fake Bible is a gutless, self-serving coward who refuses to preach the whole counsel of God's word, including sin, what God calls sin, repentance, the crucified life, and the holiness of God and how He commands us to be holy as He is holy. That's why you go there, because He tells you everything's okay and that you're okay because, after all, you show up on Sunday morning. Why do you, professing Christian, love your ridiculous little quote-unquote church, that country club you go to on Sunday morning? Could it not be because you are full of yourself? You are a lover of self and a lover of pleasures more than a lover of God. 2 Timothy 3, that's the perilous times we live in now, that where we have people who have a mere form of godliness, and they are lovers of selves more than lovers of God. That's why they serve self. They spend their every waking moment dreaming up and working toward having nice things in this earth, in this life, this fleeting life. They do little or nothing for Christ. They don't even give Him the top, the first fruit offering of everything they make so that the gospel can be preached. They are without natural affection. They're true breakers, they're false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They're having a form of godliness, a mere formula of godliness, an outward show of godliness, like the Pharisees in Matthew 23, but denying the power thereof. They deny Christ's authority or power to reign in their daily lives. Otherwise, they would be enduring to the end by preaching the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ and calling men to repent, otherwise known as the Great Commission. And he says here, from such turn away. And that's why so many, especially men, no longer attend the little carnival called church on Sunday morning, because they see right through the charlatans who are deceiving the masses. As we see, again, going back to our original text in Matthew 24, there are many false prophets that have arisen because Jesus foretold it, and they're deceiving many. So this know, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times. What does perilous mean? Difficult, fierce, dangerous times are upon us. They have come. The fulfillment of this prophecy is at hand. Perilous times shall and have come. And the first thing he says is that men would be lovers of their own selves. In America, people worship themselves. It's all about and only all about them. Narcissism is epidemic. They're lovers of their own selves, full of self. God doesn't get much or any of their time, and when He does, many times it's fake. It's not sincere. Their neighbors aren't loved and cherished. Why? Because they're full of themselves. They're lovers of their own self. Narcissists can't love anybody else. Why? Because they sit upon the throne of their own sinful hearts, ruling and reigning as Antichrist. They don't do anything for anybody except themselves. Covetous. They covet more. That's all they do is covet more. I like nice things. So aren't you wonderful? And so you labor, everything you do is to buy a life that is fake and it's never satisfied you. And no matter how many millions or billions you even make, it's never going to fill your heart. Only God can do that. And that's not going to happen until you truly repent. You follow Jesus daily by the crucified life, which is exactly what he said his stated terms are. Or you're not going to be with him. You prove not to love him. You're full of the love of self. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. They're full of covetousness and greed. The Bible tells us that a covetous man who is an idolater hath no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, before we pray, friends, let us be freshly reminded that our Lord Jesus loves you, and he came and died for you, and he simply wants you to turn to him. That's what repentance means. Come unto me, Jesus said. So you turn your life to him, and you simply give it back to him, the one who gave it to you in the first place and came and died for your sins so that you can be reunited with and in fellowship and relationship with him and the Father. At the end of Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. Let us pray together, my friends. If you desire to turn to the Lord right now, I want you to pray together with me to the Father in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Okay, here we go.
Repeat these words from your heart to God. Say these words to God, my friend, from your heart and through your mouth out loud. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you now, admitting that I have been living for my own glory, sitting upon the throne of my own wicked heart. Heavenly Father, I know that I am a sinner. I have transgressed your word and am fully guilty. I have committed the sin of self-idolatry, having myself first instead of you. Here and now I admit that I have been committing the damning sin of spiritual adultery. I have claimed to know you and yet refused to uncompromisingly
love you with all of my heart and
honor, worship, and adhere to your word. Here and now, if never before, I repent. I turn to you wholly and fully, dear Heavenly Father, through Christ, and ask you to forgive my sins and wash me clean afresh in the precious blood of my Lord Jesus Christ. Into your hands, I commend, I submit my spirit, my whole life, right this moment, to you. I ask you, dear Lord, to fill me with your Holy Ghost and use me to preach your glorious gospel, the message of your word that begins with
your command that I repent, that I turn wholly unto you. Thank you for shedding your precious blood on the cross for me, dear Lord Jesus. Here and now, I officially announce that I believe and know that you were raised from the dead after you were crucified and buried. Your perfect work of redemption provided for the
forgiveness of all sin,
of all of my sin,
through the blood of Jesus, and the promise of times of refreshing from your holy presence. Dear Lord, I love you, Jesus. I am all yours from now on. I look and I live for your soon return, and I will choose daily to be crucified with Christ and to be about your business of preaching your kingdom gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.